Welcome to Kansas City Real Talk, brought to you by KCRR. I'm still Bobby Howe, and you are...
I'm Jeff Carson. I'm happy to be back.
We're still minus Alex. See, Alex missed an episode, or I missed an episode, then Alex missed two episodes. But I think next time, I think we're all back, because we're going to be at Recharge.
Hey, that'll be fun.
Are
you going to podcast there?
We are going to podcast at Recharge. We're going to interview... two of our guests. We've already interviewed one, and then we have another one later. We've already interviewed Burton. We did the podcast with Burton, and then we have Marky Lemons and Lee Brown. We're going to be interviewing both of those
That'll
at Recharge.
I'm going to be so jealous that I won't be part of that.
Well, I mean, we could probably, we know people. We could sneak you into the room.
Well, I might just sit back there and listen.
He's like, who's the creeper in the corner? It's just Jeff.
You know, after doing this, it's so much fun. So, I mean, again, when Amber asked me last week if I would sub again, I was like secretly so excited.
Yeah. But now it's publicly so excited.
If
it's not secretly.
If you can't make it, no problem. I'm ready to roll.
So, Amber, if anything ever happens to me or Alex and we're taken out for a long period of time from the podcast, we probably should just go looking at Jeff and see, did he poison the neighbor's dog? Did he come poisonous?
Oh, you thought I had something to do with it. Oh, no, I didn't know where you were going. I didn't know you were going to go to the dark place.
I was going to the dark place because you're like, I will fill in at any point in time. I'm like, Yikes. Are you going to try and take us out so you can take over our job?
Alex, this is all being recorded, too. Oh.
I know. We're making you an accomplice right now in this very moment. This is what happens, Alex, when you leave. I make Jeff an accomplice to things. So,
oh, fun.
So spring market's hitting off, doing things, because, I mean, we are steadily into March now. How's it looking? How are things going? What's it like out there in the real world?
They call it March Madness for a reason.
I'm aware. That's not just basketball.
It's getting busy. Phones are ringing. You know, it's. I think, too, the weather helps. You know,
yeah.
We all get into a much better frame of mind when the sun's out, things like that. And, you know, the sun's out and you're doing business, that even better.
Yeah. Speaking of the sun being out, though, I'm gonna complain about it for a moment. And it's not necessarily a real complaint, but I'm going to do it anyways, is that I get so... You know, we start slowly coming out of winter. We slowly start getting that morning daylight again, and we get used to it, and it's lovely. And then the time change comes, and then it goes back to darkness again in the mornings. Now, I know we get a little bit of extra time in the evenings. I get it. I love it. It's wonderful. But don't take away my morning sunlight from me. Like, I've just gotten used to it. I wake up a little bit better when it's not completely pitch black outside. I was just getting into the cusp of it, and then nope. They had to go and pull the rug off from underneath their feet.
Well, you know, and keeping with our theme, maybe it's an older thing, but I'm all about blackout curtains and everything. And we don't have them.
Yeah.
But so when I'm awaking and I see the sun, I'm like, oh, it's time to get up. So.
Well, see, I got to get up. You got to, you know, make hay while the sun shines. You got to get up and get stuff down.
That's
I mean,
true.
And we, you know, the technical reason that we do the time change was the government rule for the farmers. And the farmers don't even really use it anymore.
They're
so
up
it's
early
like
all the time, no matter what.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether the sun's up or not. They're going to be out farming and doing what they need to get done. So, but it is what it is.
Up.
And then we all have a week where we're just kind of cranky, and then we kind of come out of it, and then we all get back on schedule again, and everything's fine. But
okay,
it is.
Is that true? Is that really true?
I don't know. I mean, I will always sleep as much as I can, but I know that I have to get up and I have to get my day started early.
It's
I can't
funny.
Sleep
I have,
in.
I have a teenager, and I watched him just sleep all the time.
Yeah.
And then I think as I've gotten older, now I feel like maybe I'm becoming a teenager again, because if I sit down in that chair for too long, I'll be asleep.
That's my husband at about 7:30. Like, he'll be like, he'll pick out a show. Let's watch the show. And the next thing I notice is the...
I know.
Next to me on the couch, and I'm like, stop it, stop it. And he's like, what? What? Well, actually, last night, for instance, we'd gone to bed, and I'm sitting, I always read in my bed before I mm-hmm. finally go to sleep. I read on my Kindle. It's part of, even on a night where I'm super tired, I still have to read for like 5 minutes. It's just, it's my process. And
sure.
If I don't do it, I don't sleep well. But we had been in bed maybe 2 minutes, and it was like the loudest snoring ever. And I finally just shoved him really hard. And he's like, why did you disturb me? And I go, you're snoring very loudly. And he goes, oh, I'm sorry.
But he admits that he does. Because see, we have this argument whether I do or she does or she doesn't. That kind of, I don't snore. And then the kids all verify that we both do. And when it's in stereo, it's worse. Yeah.
I know. So it's do you know what month it is?
Fair Housing Month.
You're so good. It's like they let you teach new member orientation or something because
that's
you
right.
know all of
that's
these
right.
things.
Well, and that's a big deal, though. That
no,
is
it
a big deal.
100% it is. So Because it's Fair Housing Month, today we are bringing in Patrick McDowell, who is a local agent and an instructor of our KCRA class, Fair Housing, an Agent's Guide to Keeping It Real. So if you've not taken his class before, number one, we highly recommend it.
Absolutely. He's wonderful.
And especially because Fair Housing is an MREC core topic. And if you've not taken all your CE yet, you're going to have to do that this year because it is a renewal year and you're going to have to get that done.
That's right. And Fair Housing really is every month.
It is every month. It really is. We should not be focused on. Even if you have taken the class, I'm sure we're going to have plenty to talk about with him today on things that are not covered within that curriculum because Fair Housing covers so many things.
It has a huge
so
reach.
Many topics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a huge reach. But before we go get Patrick and bring him in here to talk with us, I got a thing.
Is it a book thing?
It is a book thing. You know what? It's not even just a book thing. It's a book bit.
Oh, I like your book bits because since I'm not really very well read, this is as close as I get to it.
This is how you get information. So
do
Bobby's book bit, Casey Rare. I'm still missing Alex. So this week we're going to at least attempt.
I have none of those skills with
have Alex's musical skills in any way, shape, or form. I was taught very early on that you are tone deaf and you should not sing. And so that's what I was told from my family. And that's what I do.
All right, tell me about this book.
I will tell you about this book because I don't want to talk about Alex anymore. All right. So my book bit for this week is called The Diary of a CEO. And this book is by Stephen Bartlett, who has a podcast that it's called The Diary of a CEO is the name of the podcast. And this, he condenses 33 of the best life lessons into this one book. And it's on how to build, grow, and continuously improve both your business and your life. And the quote that I really liked from the book is, "The self is the only thing we have direct control over. To master it, which is no easy task, is to master your entire world." Jeff, can you master yourself? Can you get to that point?
No.
All right.
My life's so out of control. And you guys witness it on a daily basis.
I know, we do. It's fine. But we love you for it. But I'm a squirrel too. It's like, it's funny. We're talking about when Derek and I are together, we're a bit much. When me and most of my friends are together, we're a bit much and I'm the common denominator.
See, that's what I always think. I think the exact same thing. What is the common denominator? Oh, God, it's me.
Me. Yeah, it's fine. That's why we can't put us together very often. So the three lessons from the book, the very first one is the four pillars to greatness are the self, the story, the philosophy, and the team. These four fundamental laws into these categories. So the self, which is about your self-awareness, self-control, self-care, self-conduct, self-esteem, and the self-story, because yourself is the only thing you can control. The second pillar is the story, which you will use stories as your number one tool to turn human standing into your way, into your allies, because stories are the most compelling way of getting others to see your side. We see people use stories in real estate all the time, you know, especially when we talk, you know, advocacy and we talk to our legislators, we use stories of their constituents in order to get across how important these things are as opposed to just the talking points.
Absolutely.
That we have as a group.
We make them real.
Exactly. It brings it to life. The third pillar is philosophy, which is the set of beliefs, values, or principles that guide your behavior. And that's because philosophy does drive behavior, but only so with the right philosophy will you get to choose the right actions that go with that philosophy. And then finally, the fourth pillar is the team, which is a group of the right people bound together by the right culture that helps you accomplish your dreams. No one has ever built a great company on their own. You need to get together a group of people and align them. And I think that's what's so important is that everyone has to be aligned to the vision. In one of my time blocking classes, when I go over the four disciplines of execution and I talk about the ways that you can execute on a great plan, is one of the ways you have to have buy-in from everybody on your team, and that senior leaders can veto but not dictate, meaning you can throw ideas out there and say, yeah, we're not going to do that idea, but you can't dictate this is exactly how we're going to go about it because people have to be bought into your vision.
Right.
The second lesson from the book is to build your pillars of greatness with timeless principles such as these four examples. As long as you keep filling your four pillars with new rules and principles, you discover for yourself that you're on the right track. So There are four within these. And the first one is to fill your five career buckets in the right order. And the five buckets are your knowledge, your skills, network, resources, and reputation, because one tends to grow the other. The next one is to never become wallpaper. Wallpaper are just the things we tune out because we see them so frequently. Mm-hmm. This is what we refer to as email being a noise in our lives. It's also a wallpaper. We just tune out our email because there's so much of it unless you're waiting for a particular one. The third one, and this goes against a popular book that we're all aware of, which is sweat the small stuff. Because when you sweat the small stuff, it's focusing on the details that in the long run add up. And sometimes those little bitty tiny details can slowly spiral out of control unless we pay attention to them and bring it back
into there.
Yeah. And then the fourth one under this life lesson is to be an inconsistent leader. And I want to explain what that means. You have to be an inconsistent leader because people have different needs. So if you treat everyone the same way, not everyone is going to be happy.
Yeah, that's misleading. When you start off with that, that
I know.
Sounds misleading. But when
that's
you
why
explain
you gotta listen.
It, yeah.
And it goes back to a book I love that it's called Move Your Bus. And Robert Clark, I think, is the name of the author of that book. But what he talks about is, I treat everyone fairly. I don't necessarily treat everyone equally, because if you treat everyone equally, you're not always going to make everyone happy.
Right.
But when you treat them fairly, it's based on who that person is as an individual, what they need the most.
Yeah, I like that.
And giving that to them.
Yeah.
And then lesson three, never stop learning, because the most useful principle is the one you've not discovered yet. Learning never ends, and you must continue to master new knowledge for forever. You know, I say this when we were just out in Lawrence and in the room, one of my 15 points that I give is never stop learning, because if a plant's not growing, what is a plant doing?
It's dying.
It's dying. And yeah. We are the same way. When we stop learning, we stop growing, we start dying. Don't do that. Keep growing. So that's my book bit, The Diary of a CEO by Stephen Bartlett, which he's got a podcast you can listen to, but you have to listen to our podcast first before
that's
you can
right.
listen to his. All right.
Well, by the way, you mentioned Lawrence. I just have to tell you again, you were amazing in Lawrence.
Aww.
I mean, you saw my reaction. I won't talk too much about it because
you're going to start crying again.
You'll get that same reaction. So, but anyway, once again, you were amazing in Lawrence. I love listening to you speak. I think you're amazing anyway, but I think you're more so after I hear you speak.
Okay, and now we're really going to have a cry break. But in the meantime, let's go get our guest, Patrick McDowell,
yes.
and talk some fair housing.
He's great. Welcome back to Kansas City Real Talk. We're here with our guest today, Patrick McDowell. Welcome, Patrick.
Jeff, thank you, Bobby. Hello.
Yay.
Good to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So before we jump in, you know, we're here to talk about fair housing and, you know, all of the things. It's Fair Housing Month. But tell us your journey into real estate and how it got to be that you're teaching the fair housing class and sitting across from us today doing this podcast.
Can you imagine that I would have ever been here? You know, I started when I was...
Sitting across from the two of us? I know.
Yeah, what an honor.
Well, thank
really.
You. Kiss
got
the
deep
ring.
Real quick in
Kiss
here.
The ring.
And great to have, you know, be heard by all these people listening. But, you know, it's funny because I started when I was 19. And I was an
just
agent.
A couple of years ago.
Not long ago, yeah. 12 years now in the business. And so I was an agent for 9 years. At part of that time, I was like, you know what? I think I have a passion for teaching and sharing. And I was grateful to have the opportunity to do that with the brokerage that I'm with. And it just led to that. So I brokered an office for a little bit, now do training and coaching full time. And I think I kind of took over for the great Fran Cashin when it comes to code of ethics and fair housing. Of course, Christian Barnes taught it for a long time as well. And I think I was at the right place at the right time, and it worked out.
Following in some big footsteps.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, I try to put my own spin on it because when you come to a class like mine, it's heavy topics, you know, mm-hmm. fair housing especially. It can get rough when we're talking about these things, and it makes a room of 100 people from all different walks of life can make you uncomfortable. And so I try to bring a little bit of light humor in
you
on
do.
It.
You do. I've been in your class. You do.
And, you know, it's a great topic though because – you know, think of it, 13,000 realtor members in Kansas City, and every one of us is so different and bring different perspectives. So I think I get as much of it out of it as the students hopefully do. Every time I hear unique stories, and I think I get a lot out of it. It's been a great experience.
So you mentioned Fran, and you mentioned Christian. So how is it specifically that you took over teaching the Fair Housing and Agent's Guide to Keeping It Real, which I absolutely love that name because we do have to keep it real. And just give us a quick summary of what's covered in the class.
Yeah.
For those people who've not sat in on it, which you need to. Hello, people.
Hello. It's time.
Yeah.
The class is something that I wrote. I was able to come up with the content and make it as entertaining as you possibly can for a topic like fair housing. And the class really goes through the history of the fair housing laws that we have today. History is a big part of what led to those laws coming into effect. And it's something that we sometimes forget about. A lot of us weren't there. I joke in the class that, you know, if we had been in around in the 1950s, we'd probably still be using the same realtor headshot that we used, you know, back then. Just kidding.
Good point.
But also real.
Yes. Real. And keeping it real. That's mm-hmm. the name of the class. So we take, you know, the history, build up to where we are, look at the protected classes, and hopefully give agents a really relevant way to apply those easy principles in your everyday life. And I tell the class, you know, we are all great real estate agents. We all know the rules. We've been through the basic classes. We know the right thing to do. But sometimes we get so busy and we have to remember that our role is so huge to the clients that we're working with. And that's why these fair housing principles apply so much to us, because we get busy in the mix of business. But at the same time, our clients, this is a really important transaction for them. And we have to remember the levity of that a lot.
Exactly. And, you know, we're always trying to be helpful. And it's just like walking down the road. You know, we're all busy. We're all doing it. But every once in a while, we trip. And sometimes that happens in our business as
well. It's easy. It's easy to happen. You know, out of sight, out of mind, I say in class. And it's easy for that to happen, where we don't mean to make a mistake with fair housing. But it's easy to do. And I hear stories like that in class all the time. And I hear agents that have personally dealt with clients that have been discriminated against. I hear those stories almost every time I teach the class. And I have agents that have personally experienced that. I mean, just a few weeks ago, I had an agent that got in the business only because they had experienced discrimination when they were buying. And it just shows you that we, you know, all 13,000 of us have a different story, a different mm-hmm. experience. And that's kind of the cool part about real estate. We're all from, you know, different companies and different walks of life, and we can come together like that. And that's neat.
What's what, you know, we talked about, you know, the early part of the class is discussing the history. And I think that, you know, if we just like, oh, I understand the history, I know everything we've been through, but most likely, unless you are a history major, there's a whole lot of things that happen that you don't even understand that helps explain why things are the way they are today. Mm. I know that it was 2016, I believe it was, and we were in St. Charles and St. Louis at a Missouri Realtor meeting, and I still remember to this day Nate Johnson suggesting that we all read The Color of Law by Richard Rothstein. And I was like, okay, I'll sit down and read. And I was just so, like, I thought I knew our history. I thought I knew, and especially Kansas City's buy-in to some of the issues we have with fair housing in this country started just a few miles away from where we're sitting right now. And I think that you have to truly understand the things that happened in the past to understand where we are in the present. And the other part of being so important with fair housing and making sure that we're having these conversations, that we're discussing, because we all know the golden rule and just treating everybody fairly, but we have implicit bias too. And implicit bias shows up and we don't recognize that it's showing up. And so can you talk to a little bit about that and its importance in making sure that we treat everyone, like I said earlier, treating everyone fairly on the level they need to be treated on?
Hmm. Yeah, such a valid topic. You know, you think you walk into a house as an agent and you make an off comment about the kitchen cabinets or the paint color or whatever it might be. And to us, it was just a comment that we made without thinking much of it. And to the client, though, that might be the best thing they've ever seen. But because we use those words, we were the person of influence in that situation. And they decided, you know what, Patrick said that about that kitchen. I shouldn't buy it. It's not a good deal. It's not a good value. Well, it's the same thing with what we say and how we act with fair housing, because it's not always the intent behind it, but it's just words that can fall into the wrong place at the wrong time. And that's what that is. That's an implicit bias that can come out in the middle of a transaction that really has a deep effect on the clients that we're working with. And we don't always hear about it. That client that I said that about the kitchen, they may never let it out loud that I'm the one that changed their mind. Same thing when it comes to fair housing. So we have to know that as realtors, we have this responsibility. We're almost like little mini celebrities out there in the community. And people rely on us to be experts, not only in our skills with negotiation and communication, but to make sure that we're providing equitable services to everyone. And so I think uncovering some of those little implicit things, like what you were talking about, Bobby, really help for us to just be fresh on these topics mm-hmm. and keep them on the forefront of our mind instead of out of sight.
Right. It's just good reminders to have. But, you mentioned the history and, also about the role that realtors played in fair housing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we didn't always have a great we played a bad role in fair housing back in the day.
Yeah. So. And we talk a lot about steering in class. Mm-hmm. Phrases like blockbusting come up, of course, redlining. So, we look at that very uncomfortable history, but it helps us be better today.
Exactly.
And I think that's the focus of the classes. Hopefully you leave with a path that you're charting that you know what to do. You already know what to do, but it's a good refresher.
And I think the class should be uncomfortable. I should think it should push us to our limits and to our thoughts. It's really interesting you brought up the kitchen cabinet example because I immediately thought of there was one time I was showing a house and had this, I'm not going to put a descriptor word before it, which I would have probably done before, but this green shag carpet throughout that was just like a step back in time. And I remember making a comment about how atrocious the green shag carpet was. And my client says, my grandma had this exact same carpet and I absolutely loved it. And this makes me happy thinking of my grandma. Now, there were some gorgeous hardwood floors underneath that they were going to rip up. But for them, they had already made an emotional connection to the home
because of that.
Because it felt like grandma's here. But here I was trying to, poop on their thing of being like, oh my God, I can't believe they have that.
Those time capsule houses are pretty powerful. And they have that ability to bring out those things from your past.
But people take that familial connection that people have to their ancestors and the things that have happened in their past, that just doesn't go away in the future. And so being connected to that history, knowing the things that have led to people being where they are, that's why I always love people's life story when they come here on the episode. My very first thing is I love knowing where people came from to where they are today because you learn so much about someone and what's important to them and with what they share with that.
That's good.
Very good, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So what are some of the lessons from your class that you feel like students might be possibly hearing for the first time when they're keeping it real with you in fair housing?
Well, hopefully everything in the class is a reminder. Mm-hmm. And I'd like to think that agents walk away with maybe some better practices, making sure that they're being more consistent with the way that they're, pre-interviewing their clients, making sure that everybody's pre-approved or that they're meeting every client in a neutral location like an office or, a coffee house or something like that. And, just those little practices. I think one of the best things that agents can do right now to better represent their value, especially in the climate that we're living in, is to just be more consistent. So that means when a buyer calls, you've got a checklist and you ask the same questions to every buyer that comes along. And that way you are not asking certain questions of some people and not others.
Right.
But secondly, it's just good business. You're asking everybody the same thing. You don't hang up the phone and think, oh man, I didn't ask about, price point.
Right.
Instead, you're consistent. And by the way, the buyers always call you when you're in front of your computer ready to ask questions,
sure.
Right?
Yeah, they do.
Well, no, So having systems like that in place, like a checklist that you have with you on your phone or your smart device or whatever all the time, hopefully that's a good takeaway. One of the best things that I think hopefully agents get out of this course is just all the resources available to them through NAR on the website. They can actually sign a fair housing declaration that says that they are deeply committed to the practices that we've talked about in class. And my goal is that they go do that activity. They talk about it at their offices. They spur conversations during sales meetings and that they make it a true commitment moving forward. So that's my promise when you come to classes that you'll leave with a deeper commitment of fair housing and, keeping it real like the title is.
Well, you have such a relaxed class. I mean, you solicit responses. I mean, you want those. You want that dialogue
sure.
back and forth. Do you ever look at and see like those aha moments or those looks like, oh my gosh, I think I've done that or, things like that where people might recognize that maybe they weren't doing it as well as they should?
Yeah. I hear things like that all the time where, I've said something like that in my MLS description. I've used a word like that. Or, I have been less consistent with pre-approvals or, meeting buyers at homes for the first time that they meet them. And so it's those little aha moments that are rewarding. But I do have to say that I hear so many positive stories too. And positive affirmations almost that they're already doing things the right way. And that's really empowering to know that, okay, you know what? In Kansas City, we are a cut above the rest. We understand these principles. Yes, these are good reminders. And yeah, you might learn a thing or two along the way. But I'm proud of the agents that we have in the metro because they know these things that we're talking about.
Well, it's funny. You actually came up in a conversation with one of my broker owners recently. They attended your class and they heard some of the ways to write listing descriptions. And they went back and because, you know, your reticular activation system or your RAS in your brain, once it's been activated, you know, when you go buy a brand new car and nobody in town has it, and as soon as you drive off the lot, everybody in town has the exact same car you have, that's your RAS. And so because you taught this class, his brain was activated to some of the ways some of these listing descriptions are written. And he noticed one of his agents was using more familial descriptions. This is a great piece of land for a growing family and some other things like that. And so it led him to have a conversation with his agent, you know, like, I was just in Patrick's class and here's some things that I learned and here's some better ways to do it. What I found really interesting was that agent chose to double down and go even harder in on his listing descriptions because I don't want you telling me what I can and cannot do. And I was like, okay, we have a whole different conversation that we need to have, but people are listening. They are taking it away. So maybe if those aha moments aren't even happening in the classroom, they can be happening later once they're back in the field working with their clients, if they're a broker, working with their agents and having those. And so what you're leaving with people with is going to last with them for a very, very long time. And I think it's really important what you do.
Well, so, sometimes it's much later. You'll all of a sudden see something like, ah. That's what Patrick was talking about.
I love that. Well, thank you for saying that. That means a lot. You know, it's such a weird industry because look in the mirror. That's the boss. It's you. And we have to remember, you know, what we're all in this together. It's a self-policing industry. I think we can all learn from each other, lean on each other, and become better in that way. But, you know, I love that. We're making a difference, one attendee at a time.
Well, and I think that one of the things in this – well – no matter where you are in our society nowadays, but especially in the industry that we're in, is that you have to be open to change and adaptability and knowing that one of my favorite quotes, it's from the book Influence, The Power of Persuasion, says that if you want things to stay the same, things have to change. And it's because the world around us is changing. And so just keeping the status quo we have to change how we're doing just to keep the status quo that we have. And so we need to be open to someone giving us feedback and understanding that feedback and looking at doing things in a different way that maybe we haven't done it before. But what's it going to hurt? Let's at least give it a shot.
Sure.
And so opening your mind is a very important concept in all this. And I think that anyone who will, you know, attend a fair housing class is willing to open their mind unless they're being forced. Everyone, I'm being forced to do. And I'm just like, I just want to smack those people upside the head. You talked a little bit about the resources that NAR has, and NAR has a plethora of resources, and they're, you know, really good with what they do. At the and I have not sat in your class, and I need to sit in on
it's
your class
time.
So that I can keep
it's
it real.
Time.
Yes, it is time for it. Actually, I was just realizing I got an email from MREC the other day saying it's time for you to take all your continuing education classes. I'm like, I know, MREC, it's fine. Do at the end of your class, do you encourage people or maybe not the Fairhaven? How do you feel like the Fairhaven program, the NAR, feeds into the class that you're teaching?
Gosh, what a great simulation that is. And so easy. Fairhaven.realtor, go to it, like a .com right there.
I just talked about it to a group of new realtors this morning.
I mean, log in, do it. Takes you less than 2 hours.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great to practice fair housing principles in a safe space like that rather than out in the world in front of a potential fair housing tester or in front of a client who, you know, you're treated unfairly in some way? Not that you would, but that simulation is just, man, what a great thing. So I hope everybody goes through it.
Well, it causes you to stop and to think. I mean, I'll be all like, hey, Bobby's super awesome over here, but I am a NAR Fair Housing Award winner. So like taking Fairhaven, this is a walk in the park. I got a couple of things wrong.
Me
and I'm
too.
Like, how did I get that wrong?
I know, right.
But it was a moment for me to stop and go, okay, think about this from another side. And why is that the correct answer versus what I thought was the correct answer? I wasn't the obvious really wrong answer, but it still was not the right thing. And I need to stop and evaluate the way I'm doing things.
Well, I'm so glad you said that because I was thinking – taken and I missed a couple.
Everybody I know has taken it, has missed a couple. And I think that's the point is that you think you know it all. You think you know it all until you realize you take this, you're like, oh, there are more than one ways.
Exactly.
Skin a cat. That's a horrible analogy.
No, but I know what you're saying, but that's exactly right.
It makes you think.
It does, and it makes you go back through and think, okay, they're right. Yeah, there was a better way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it's that knee jerk, and that sometimes the knee jerks, again, you tripped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I would love agents and even their offices or their teams to do that activity together.
That would be fun.
And it would spur some great conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I love going back to what you were talking about, the consistency and having those checklists, because I think that is the one place – there's so many places where agents potentially fail. But that's one place that could make their lives so much simpler and easy, is just having a series of checklists that you walk through with every single client on every single file about every single part of the process. Even if it's just not for fair housing, I would love to see you do it for fair housing to make sure you're treating everyone equally and fairly. Yeah. But just to do it just for the sake of making sure every file is done the same, it would make their lives so much easier.
Right.
But they want to fight it.
Yeah. In new member orientation, that's what I always preach, is consistency.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency will help keep you out of trouble. It won't completely keep you out, but it'll take you 90%.
Yeah, because if you consistently make the wrong mistake over and
over
again.
Well, that's true, too.
Yeah, that doesn't
that's
help.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, I can list you a street address today of a listing that I lost 9 years ago because I went into it, I knew the seller. Well, guess what? That's how most of our sellers are.
Yep.
I go in, I take for granted that I'm going to get that listing. I talk more about their life. How are things going? Hey, I'm excited for your move. But I don't share anything about my services. Well, you know, the spouse was connected by somebody at work. They interviewed another agent, and guess what they did? They pulled out all the stops, talked about everything that they do for marketing and communication. Well, I do all those things too.
Right.
You know, I do that.
You just didn't tell them.
And, you know, they ended up choosing that agent. So, you know, I could literally list that address out to you. Right. So not only is it consistent for fair housing, but it's, you know, consistent for life. It's just a good business practice. I have a funny story about consistent. Can I share it
yes,
with you?
Yes, please. Sure.
I had this baby tooth up till about 6 months ago, okay? It's a little embarrassing. I had a tooth. My mom had the exact same tooth grow the same way. It just didn't come in. So I had this baby tooth that I've been holding on to. The dentist told me, you know what, someday it's going to fall out, whatever. Well, it happened. I was on an airplane when it happened.
Oh, no.
Long story. It just came loose. I make it more dramatic. I've really turned it into my personality. But I tell you that I know my dentist. I know the daughter who does the cosmetic stuff. I know him. I'm friends with him on Facebook. I know him like friends.
Mm-hmm.
But I still expected a level of professionalism. I still wanted to go to the office. I still wanted to, you know, get in the chair and be numbed up and do all the things that they do. Well, guess what? We're the same level of professional as that dentist is. And we ought to walk through that process with those clients every time, every step of the way, because they don't do this 50 hours a week like you and I do. And so we have that responsibility to be consistent and professional all the time.
That's a great story.
And look, you know, my tooth, you would never know that it's not and it's not there.
That's a great story. again, about what's expected. But it's funny that you still remember the address of the listing you lost, because I can tell you, I can tell you probably the handful of ones I've lost too, or the ones that just didn't go right. And it still bothers me sometimes.
Yeah. It sticks with you, but it's a good life lesson. You can learn from that mistake.
It's that little part of the ego that just
– Yeah. And all from just not talking about it.
Right.
So it just proves.
But anything you did wrong, you just didn't, what you didn't do right.
Yeah. Took it for granted.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And we can't do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Too often we take things for granted. So, you know, given I'm not really even broaching the subject, but I mean, in a way that I am broaching the subject with the NAR settlement, we're not going to go into details. We're not going to go into the woods. We're not going to speculate on that.
All right. Get out of the weeds.
No, we're not going to do that. But why do you think it's possibly more important than ever to educate our agents about fair housing? Because in my personal opinion, Bobby's opinion, nobody else's opinion, not KCRER's, not Missouri Realtors, is that I do think that some of these potential changes will have an effect on our minority communities. And so we have to be especially considerate of how we're treating everyone in regards to fair housing right now. And so what are some of your opinions on why it's so important we educate everyone?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think when it comes down to it, fair housing is just about housing for everybody. And everybody should have the chance to have that home ownership that we work so hard to achieve. And, you know, some of these changes, we'll have to see how the cookie crumbles, I guess. And let's hope that the powers that be – I'm sitting across from two of them today. But let's hope the powers that be will help to shape that in a way that keeps – homeownership and the opportunity to become a homeowner as equitable as possible. I think that, you
I'm
know,
sorry, you're kind of actually making me a little bit emotional thinking that we are talking about possibly, you know, people being closed out of the opportunity in it.
But we are.
It bothers me.
It does.
So just hearing you talk is starting
I mean,
to make
even
me,
seeing what he's saying
sorry,
right
my
now.
Eyes
sorry,
are
now,
watering.
Now I'm interrupting as well. But, you know, we say fair housing. We mean housing for all, you know, and I when I brought it up, you know, the people I think that will be most affected will be VA buyers.
Absolutely.
First-time home buyers and buyers of color. But even VA buyers are technically still a part of being treated equitable and fair as a part of this.
Sorry. And that's been difficult but the last several years with this crazy market with VA loans.
Yeah.
And I remember bringing up to Nate Johnson, you know, talking about, you know, could we ever be accused of steering? You know, because agents have said, we're not looking at VA, we're not looking at FHA, you know, we want cash and we want conventional. And he goes, well, you know, unfortunately, veterans are not a protected class. But then, but my response was, but they are a very sympathetic one. And, you know, if a group of veterans got together and there decided to be litigation or something about that, it would be another black eye to our industry. So,
yeah, it's interesting. You know, we're all part of a protected class one way or the other.
Exactly.
Gender, race, color, religion, all of those things. Yeah. We all belong to one of those seven protected classes, if not all of them in some way. And, you know, these changes will be something that will affect fair housing. And I think it's something that we'll be talking about for quite a while. But
you're right.
I wish we had all the answers.
I wish we did too. That's what I just keep telling everyone is I know you have questions. We have them too. And we're working so hard to get those answers of how this is going to work out and shake out. But it's now more than ever. We have to make sure that we are transparent with everything that we do and we treat everyone equitably because it's even without any of the other stuff happening, it's just be the good you wish to seek in the world. You know, be that person.
That's good.
Very good way to put it.
So we're getting close towards the end of our time. I'm not rushing you out of here because, quite frankly, Patrick, you could stay the rest of the day. I've got other things I have to go do personally, but you can just stay
just
and
keep
we can chat. I know I could do this all day long.
It's Patrick.
You're gonna take over our show. But, I say our show. It's not even my show. I'm just, a sub.
You're sub. You're a tri-host, we called you. That's what we called you. You're a tri-host. We're fine.
She's called me worse.
I have called you worse. It's fine. Earlier today, even. If a KCRER member is interested in learning more about fair housing and DEI-related topics, what's available for them? What all do we have here?
Just a ton of stuff. For one thing, we'd love to have you in the class, keeping it real. There's a couple of great fair housing classes that we offer at the association. One of them is mine. We also have a self-paced online version of it that you can complete online. You can hear this voice by completing that class.
I was going to ask, do I get your voice, though?
You do.
I love it.
You do. Some great quiz questions in there. It's a great class, easy to take if you'd rather do it online. Perfect. That's a great option. All of our Fair Housing Keeping It Real classes are also hybrid, so you can come in person or you can do them on Zoom. You got to keep your camera on the whole time, but I make it entertaining, and so that's always an option too. And there's some great resources also under the Agent Toolkit on the KCRER website that you can find some fair housing type of topics and resources. And, of course, that NAR Fair Housing page would be a great source as well that we get access to for being members. So just a ton of great info. And you mentioned, you know, the Fairhaven simulation, the At Home with Diversity certification is worth mentioning as well.
Yeah,
that's something to look into, offered several times throughout the year locally or virtually. So all of those are great resources. But the best place to start is probably Patrick's class.
I love it. I love a good promo.
Yeah.
All right, Patrick, last question that I ask almost all of our guests, unless I run out of time, and we have just enough time for me to ask the question, is what else? What else should we have asked you? What else should our listeners know? What else do you want to convey to everyone?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to you know, just be a voice in this class. I get so much out of doing this, and I don't take lightly the opportunity that I have to teach the Missouri required core class. And I think that's a sentiment to how far you can go in this industry. When I started, I was 19. I was an agent. I thought I'd be an agent for the rest of my career. I had the opportunity to start teaching. And it just shows you that in this business, the sky's the limit, not just with sales, but with many other opportunities in the field. And that excites me. And I, you know, when I have a student come to class, I hope that I ignite a little bit of why they got into this business. Why did they start in real estate? And it's been tough. You know, think about 2023. The average agent's business was down 20% last year. That's real money missing from their checking account. And if I can help to reignite the inspiration that got them into this business, then I'm doing my job. So I tell them when they come in, this is going to be potentially the best CE class you've ever been to. And I hope that's true. I hope I was one of the best. guests on this show today too. So that's worth
something. I should have gone with my original introduction when I introduced him.
Off
the recording as Mr. Cocky. So he's back at the end of the session.
I love it though. What he brings.
In your class. You do a wonderful job. You are humorous. You make it fun. I mean, that's the way I try to teach too. I mean, I think that people want to come in and they certainly want to get those nuggets of information and things like that. But I think they want to be entertained as well. And I think you can do both, and you've shown that you can do both.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that means a lot.
It's how you keep an audience engaged as we take them on a little journey. We go up, we come down, we go back up again.
I always say, stick with me. There is a point, and I will make it at some point, but stay with me.
I mean, how many of us have been to CE classes where we've almost fallen asleep? Oh, anybody?
Yes.
You know, that's you. Yeah, you're nodding your head right now.
Yeah.
We don't want that. You know, that's not how we learn.
Yeah.
And so we have to make it as entertaining but also really relevant, because it is such an important topic. So I appreciate your joke. You know, confidence is important.
It is.
But at the end of the day, this class is just – it's so spot on with what we're out there doing in the industry. And I can't wait to see all of you listening show up to it sometime.
Yay. You know, it's funny when I get the evaluation. I look at those evaluations and, you know, and – once or twice I've gotten a not so great one. But, you know, they're like, oh, he's so funny. He's so entertaining. Oh, my God, I love the class. It was, you know, again, he's so funny. This, not once do I hear he's so knowledgeable about the topic or thing. I sometimes wonder, what am I doing in there? And I taught Safety Matters the other day, kind of a dark topic. Mm-hmm. And we're cracking up in the room. I mean, we're just going through. And I think, I wonder what they think we're talking about inside here, because as you guys are all laughing at me. But They enjoyed the class, and hopefully you've got something out of it to keep themselves safe.
Well, knowledgeable, that's like the definition of Jeff Carson, knowledgeable on the topic at hand.
Oh, so. He's already there.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
They're already built in. They just give me compliments on the
these headsets
starting really deep in here.
So like
we better let Patrick go, but thank you for being here with us today. We really do appreciate you, and we will have to have you back again, because you've made for a lovely conversation today, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, great to talk to you guys.
Thanks
thank
so
you.
Much.